Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Tuesday class, 21 February, 2023, Joel.
All right, well, you pass the wind test, and for the rest of the week, you get to pass. See if you can pass the snow and rain and test. Good job by you. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's Word. And therefore, open the Word of God to Joel chapter 1. Joel chapter 1. And in preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the preservation of the canon of Scripture, the eternal and absolute truth of your word, that spiritual food, that manna from heaven, that enables us to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we might fulfill the very plan, will, and purpose that you have for each one of our lives. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, the Joneses had one more attempt. They flunked again. This is Hal Lindsey, The Unraveling of the American Mind. In 1987, Alan Bloom, then a professor at the University of Chicago, published this book, The Closing of the American Mind. The book was hailed by both conservatives and liberals alike. The New York Times wrote that it hits with the approximate force and effect of electroshock therapy, unquote. The Washington Post called it rich and absorbing, a grand tour of the American mind. Bloom showed how the relativism taught at universities leads to closed minds. He lamented, quote, parents' loss of control over the children's moral education at a time when no one else is seriously concerned with it, unquote. The book was influential, but I wish its influence had been even greater. The closing of the American mind was like a sandcastle trying to hold back a rising tide. Over time, the entertainment, political, media, and religious establishments joined the educational establishment in pushing the deadly ideas that Bloom warned against. Today in America, the establishment has imprisoned the nation's young within walls of closed-mindedness, superstition, and paganism. And the results have been devastating. According to a new study released by the CDC, one in three high school girls admits to considering suicide in the last year. 57% of high school girls and 29% of high school boys say they experience persistent feelings of sadness and hopelessness. Almost half of LGBTQ students have considered suicide, and 37% of them have formed a suicide plan. These numbers are staggering. What's going on? Relativism, though a huge problem, is really only a symptom of a far bigger problem. You'll find the real problem laid out in the Word of God. Romans chapter 1, verses 18 to 32. Those verses speak of human beings who, quote, suppress the truth in unrighteousness, verse 18. It says, quote, professing to be wise, they became fools, verse 22. It says, they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, verse 25. God's judgment is to allow his repudiators to have what they desire. God gave them over to degrading passions, verse 26. In Greek, the word translated gave over to carry the connotation of surrender. In a sense, God simply lets go. Romans 1:28 is one of the saddest verses in the Bible. Just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind. God surrenders them to the consequences of their own choices. Romans 1:29-31 gives us a taste of how depravity of mind manifests itself in the world. It leads people to unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. It goes on to say they are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. We now live in that world. And we see the pain, sadness, loneliness, misery, and mental illnesses that it causes. God remains all-powerful, but He allows us to choose against Him, to reject the truth and believe the lie. He allows us to choose whether we will push Him away, negative volition, arrogance, or welcome Him in, positive volition, humility. Americans as a whole have actively pushed God away for generations. And now we are witnessing the sad, ugly results. We are a nation in apostasy. We are a nation in degeneracy. We are a nation closed to the fifth cycle of national discipline. The problem in this country is a spiritual problem, and the only solution is a spiritual solution. And then he concludes, we should pray for a spiritual awakening in America. Yes. Because America is asleep. America is in total darkness. Little pinholes of light around. Upland Bible Church, pinhole of light. And of course, we are in an unusual time. Technology has made it possible that things that were never true in Paul's day. Paul didn't ask if they wanted to get the email. You want to get the class on email? You want to get the MP3 disc? No. Paul never had that. If you wanted to get the class, get your ass in there and get it. That was that simple. It's kind of nice to have it that way. But now we have technology, and as soon as class is over here, why, Al gets in there and sends the classes out email all over the country. And some are on MP3 discs and get those. And that's great. It's better than nothing at all. It goes out all over. So our congregation is a rather extended congregation. And then we have also, we're pansies today. We're pansies. If it gets cold, oh, ooh, ooh. Can't go to Bible class. You're going to get a test the next few days, supposed to snow. I hope it snows. Rains and freezes, get black ice out on the highways. See how you do driving around. Now, if you live up in Washington, why, you have that all the time. No big deal. You always have snow. And right, they have lots and lots of snow. Feet of snow. 2 feet. 3 feet of snow. And then Chinook comes in, melts it, and then it freezes, and then it's black ice. And it's a skating rink. Very fun. But we're pansies. It gets a little too cold, the wind blows. I don't know if I can make it to class tonight, you know. So. You know, when the colonel had his conferences, I don't know what it was about Dallas. Dallas has good weather a lot of the time, but whenever the colonel came for a conference, ice. But it was great. And the place was packed. That's positive volition. Who cares about the damn ice? Ice and cold weather and rain and all that. We're pansies today. And boy, in the desert, we think 40 degrees is horrible. Well, you ought to live in Alaska. You ought to live in Washington, Montana, North Dakota. But this isn't cold. I watch some of you come in here. You look like Nanook from the North. Come in here. My God. If it was this temperature up in Washington, they'd wear short pants, flip-flops, T-shirt. They'd probably like to go swimming somewhere. We should pray for a spiritual awakening in America. Yes. It's a spiritual problem. It demands a spiritual solution. As goes the believer, so goes the client nation to God. We're still here. I don't know how big the pivot of mature believers is, but that's the key. And so what do we do? Well, you are the part of that pivot. You keep on keeping on. Stay positive, continue to have humility, continue to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. Have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. Develop personal love for God the Father, impersonal love for all, occupation with Jesus Christ. And keep on keeping on. We're here, so there's hope. Joel chapter 1, we are at verse 15. Joel 1:15. Which says, woe. Woe with respect to that day. What day is that? Because the day of the Lord, no, there's no verb in the Hebrew, the day of the Lord near. In fact, it will come as devastation and destruction from the Almighty God. Now, the day of the Lord is one of four different days in the God-breathed scriptures. There are actually four days revealed. Man's day, which is the time which we're living, the church age. We're living in the church age, which is man's day. There's the day of Christ, which is the conclusion of the church age, the rapture of the church. There's the day of the Lord, which we have in Joel 1:15, and that includes 1,007 years. It includes the 7-year tribulation period, the second advent of Jesus Christ, and the 1,000 millennial reign of Christ on the earth in the millennium. All of that together makes up the day of the Lord. And then there is the day of God, and that is the eternal state. Man's day, this phrase is found in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 3, and is a reference to man's judgment. It literally means man's day of judgment, any human day of judgment. It refers to the day in which we live, when men have control over human government and courts and judge others. We are currently living in man's day, the time of man's judgment with human courts. The second day is the day of Christ. And that refers to the rapture, the conclusion of the church age, the resurrection of the royal family of God. And the day of Christ is mentioned 6 times in the Word of God. 1 Corinthians 1:8, 1 Corinthians 5:5, 2 Corinthians 1:14, Philippians 1:6, Philippians 1:10, Philippians 2:16. It refers to that time when Jesus Christ will get up out of the chair at the right hand of God the Father and come down into the atmospheric heavens and rapture the church out of the earth to be with him forever. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 to 18, 1 Corinthians 15:51 to 58. The third day is the day of the Lord. That's the day we have here in Joel 1:15. In fact, the theme of the book of Joel is the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is a dark, gloomy time of judgment, tribulation, second advent of Jesus Christ, followed by his establishing his kingdom on earth with great worldwide blessing. The day of the Lord refers to the direct intervention of God in the affairs of man. It follows after the rapture of the church. It is not only a time of great judgment on all unbelievers, but also a time of great blessing for those believers who are delivered by Jesus Christ at the second advent and enter into his millennial kingdom. And the fourth day is the day of God, 2 Peter 3:12 and 13. And in the day of God, this present universe will be destroyed by the one who created it. There is only one person who is going to destroy this universe. There's only one person who's going to destroy planet Earth. And it isn't going to be you driving a car with gas operated. It's going to be Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ created the world. He created the universe. And only Jesus Christ will destroy it. So, global warming and climate change, it's all a total lie. Total lie. Satanic lie. It's just putting power in the hands of evil, and the one who will use it the most will be the Antichrist following the rapture of the church in the tribulation. So at the day of God, Jesus Christ will destroy the present universe. And then he will create a new heavens and a new earth. And the day of God ushers in the eternal state. But we are in Joel 1:15 where we have the day of the Lord. Woe with respect to that day, because the day of the Lord near, in fact, it will come as devastation and destruction from the Almighty God. And the book of Joel, the theme of the entire book is the day of the Lord. And all throughout the Old Testament scriptures, and in the New Testament, the book of Revelation, we have the day of the Lord. And it's described for us. And so we're going through, what we're doing now is looking at what the scriptures have to say about the day of the Lord. The first description comes from the book we're studying, Joel. Joel's description of the day of the Lord is given in all throughout the book of Joel, but we saw the first passage, Joel 2, verses 1 through 11, last week. We saw that in Joel 2:1, the day of the Lord is a time of alarm and trembling. In Joel 2:2, the day of the Lord is described as a time of darkness and gloom. Also in Joel 2:2, the invading army from the north, the king of the north, is said to be more awesome than any that had ever come or would come. Joel 2:3, this army is compared to a fire that consumes everything in its path. In Joel 2:4 and 5, it is a mobilized army that moves very rapidly and cannot be stopped. The only person who'll be able to stop it is the Lord Jesus Christ. Joel 2:6, the response to this awesome army is widespread terror. The nations writhe in anguish and pain. Joel 2:7 to 9, the relentless advance of this army is emphasized as cities are destroyed. They go from house to house, city to city. Joel 2:10, the army's approach is accompanied by cosmic disorder. Joel 2:11, it is a dreadful day of judgment. Who can endure it? No one except those who call on the name of the Lord, those few who... There's going to be some crisis evangelism in the tribulation. Elijah and Moses, the two witnesses, crisis evangelism, 144,000 real Jehovah's Witnesses. 12,000 of the 12 tribes of Israel. Crisis evangelism in the last 3.5 years. And there will be those who will respond and believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior. And if they survive the tribulation, at the second advent, Jesus Christ will usher them in to His kingdom for the millennial, His millennial reign on earth. Joel 2, verses 30-32. Joel describes the day of the Lord as a time of great cosmic and supernatural events. Joel 2:10, the earth shakes, the sky trembles, the sun and moon are darkened, the stars no longer shine. Also, we saw this in Joel 2:30-31, Joel 3:15-16. Joel also describes the day of the Lord as a time of final judgment. Joel 3:1-2, Joel 3:12-14. Now, there was only one thing we had to look at, we didn't look at last time, and that is Joel describes the day of the Lord as a time of great ecstatics and celebration for those believers who are delivered and go into the millennial kingdom. And that's found in Joel 2, verses 28-29. So let's start with that this evening. Joel 2:28-29. Joel describes the day of the Lord as a time of great ecstatics and celebration for those believers who are delivered at the second advent of Christ and enter into His kingdom. Joel 2:28, and afterward. Afterward is after the second advent. After the second advent of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, I will pour out My Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Not what you're dreaming now. Some of you, I wake up in the morning and Debbie says, I had the most crazy dream. Well, you aren't going to have that. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on My servants, both men and women, I will pour out My Spirit in those days. So this refers to the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ on earth in the millennial kingdom. In the millennial kingdom, there will be an outpouring of God the Holy Spirit on all people, regardless of age or gender or social class. They will exercise prophetic gifts. They will prophesy. They will dream dreams. They will see visions. So throughout the Old Testament scriptures, the day of the Lord is brought up again and again and again. Book after book after book describes this day, the day of the Lord. The Old Testament scriptures stress the importance of preparing for the day of the Lord because God's justice and judgment are absolutely certain. God says what He means, and He means what He says. So first we saw the description of the day of the Lord from Joel. Now we're going to go through Obadiah, Malachi, Amos, Zephaniah, Isaiah, Zechariah. All of them talk about the day of the Lord. So, description number 2 of the day of the Lord. Obadiah. See if you can find it. Obadiah chapter 5. No, there's only one chapter. I just said that. There's only one chapter, so it's just a verse. Obadiah, verse 15. Obadiah, verse 15. For the day of the Lord draws near on all the nations of planet earth. As you have done, it will be done to you. Your dealings will return on your own head. Obadiah, verse 15. So Obadiah declares that the day of the Lord will be a time of judgment on all the nations on planet earth. God's judgment will come on all nations who rebel in arrogance against him. This judgment will take place at the end of the Great Tribulation, the last 3.5 years of the 7-year tribulation, at the return of the Lord Jesus Christ in glory. Now, the third description of the day of the Lord, we go to Malachi. Malachi stresses the unbearable judgment and purging that the day of the Lord will bring on all unbelievers, as well as the healing and joy it will bring to those believers who are delivered by Christ at the second advent. Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. Malachi 3 verse 2. But who can endure the day of his coming, the second advent of Jesus Christ? Who can stand when he appears? For he will be a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. All unbelievers, all the Jews will come under the judgment in the day of the Lord. All unbelievers will be destroyed and removed from the earth. The believers will enter into the millennial kingdom. So verse 5, so I will come near to you for judgment. I will be quick to testify against sorcerers, adulterers, perjurers, against those who defraud laborers of their wages, who oppress the widows and the fatherless, the orphans, and deprive aliens of justice, but do not fear me. They do not fear the Lord, says the Lord Almighty. That's his judgment on all the unbelievers. And then, in verse 2, it's on his judgment on Jewish unbelievers. Verse 5, all Gentile and Jew unbelievers. And then verse 6, those who believed in Jesus Christ, either from the two witnesses, Elijah and Moses, or the 144,000 super evangelists under crisis evangelism and were delivered by Christ into his kingdom. I, the Lord, do not change. So you, O descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. These are the ones who responded and believed in Jesus Christ. So, a couple of things on Malachi's description of the day of the Lord. One, the day of the Lord will be a day of judgment, not only on all the Israelites, but on the people of the whole world. Day of the Lord will be a day of judgment, not only on the Israelites, but also on the nations of the whole world. Two, it will be a day of disaster and death. Who can endure the day of his coming? Malachi 3:2. Who can stand when he appears? Malachi 3:2. And the answer is no unbeliever. No unbeliever will endure the day of the Lord. All unbelievers will be judged, put to death, and removed from the earth. They will be in torments. They will be incarcerated in Hades or torments until the second resurrection, when all unbelievers are resurrected out of Hades or torments to come before the Lord Jesus Christ at the great white throne judgment. And then they'll be judged by the Lord Jesus Christ and cast into the lake of fire. Three, the Lord's coming will purify Israel. Refiner, Jesus Christ is a refiner. Purify Israel by purging out every unbelieving Jew and delivering the Jews. Purging out all unbelieving Gentiles and delivering believer Gentiles. That was Malachi 3:5, which we saw. And then look over Malachi 4, verse 1. Malachi 4, verse 1. Surely the day is coming, it will burn like a furnace. All the arrogant and every evildoer will be stubble. And that day that is coming will set them on fire, says the Lord Almighty. Not a root or a branch will be left to them. And then Amos, turn over to Amos chapter 5. It's right next to Andy. Amos chapter 5. Some of you are still looking for Andy. Amos chapter 5, verse 18. Woe to you who long for the day of the Lord. Why do you long for the day of the Lord? That day will be darkness, not light. It will be as though a man fled from a lion only to meet a bear. As though he entered his house and rested his hand on the wall only to have a snake bite him. Will not the day of the Lord be darkness, not light? Pitch dark without a ray of brightness? So a question. Will this judgment bring about the end of the nation Israel? Will every Jew be consumed by the refiner's fire? And of course the answer is no. Malachi 3 verse 6. The four unconditional covenants to Israel guarantee that all Israel will not be destroyed. The remnant of believers will be delivered by Jesus Christ and enter into the millennial kingdom. And look at Malachi 4 once again. Malachi 4. Malachi 4 verses 5 and 6 introduces a very important part of the tribulation and the day of the Lord in the last half of the tribulation, and that is the two witnesses. Malachi 4 verse 5. See, I will send you the prophet Elijah before that great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, or else I will come and strike the land with a curse. So Malachi mentions the two witnesses on the day of the Lord, the last half of the tribulation. And this is a time of crisis evangelism. Crisis evangelism from the two witnesses, Elijah and Moses, and from the 144,000 super evangelists, 12,000 from the 12 tribes of Israel. Elijah and Moses, the two witnesses, are found in Revelation 11, 1 to 13. The 144 super evangelists are found in Revelation chapter 7 and Revelation chapter 14, verses 1 through 5. So let's take a look at, since Malachi mentioned these two witnesses, to take a look at Revelation chapter 11, verses 1 to 13. Crisis evangelism from the two witnesses. This is a further amplification of Malachi's description of the day of the Lord. Revelation chapter 11. Revelation chapter 11, verses 1 to 13. First of all, it starts out in the first two verses, Revelation 11, 1 and 2. I was given a reed like a measuring rod and was told, go and measure the temple of God. So in the tribulation, there will be the temple. And measure the temple of God and the altar, and count the worshipers there, but exclude the outer court. Do not measure it, because it has been given to the Gentiles, and they will trample on the holy city for 42 months. 42 months is 3.5 years, the last half of the tribulation, the great tribulation. So Revelation 11, 1 and 2 tells us that there will be a temple in the tribulation. The Jewish temple will be rebuilt, reconstructed, and operating in Israel during the tribulation. Orthodox Jews will offer sacrifices according to the Mosaic law during the first half of the tribulation period. During the first 3.5 years. Now remember, the 7-year tribulation period is also known as Daniel's 70th week, as a very important part of the day of the Lord. Orthodox Jews in the first half, the first 3.5 years, they will be offering sacrifices according to the Mosaic law in the first 3.5 years. But not in the last half. So one, however, the last half of the tribulation period, the last 3.5 years, the last 42 months, the sacrifices will stop and the temple will be desecrated. However, the last half of the tribulation period, the last 3.5 years, the last 42 months, the last 1260 days, that's all the same, the sacrifices will stop. So the temple will be built, they'll be offering their sacrifices for the first half of the tribulation, and then whack, it stopped. Why? Two, the last 42 months, the last 3.5 years, the last 1260 days is what the Bible calls the Great Tribulation. And the abomination of desolation will take place in the temple. The last 42 months, 3.5 years, 1260 days is the Great Tribulation and the abomination of desolation will take place in the temple. Turn over to Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9. Daniel 9, verse 27. He, the Antichrist, will confirm a covenant with many for 1 7. And then in the middle of the seven, he will put an end to sacrifice. So there will be, the temple will be rebuilt in tribulation for the first 3.5 years. Everything, sacrifice is going on as usual. And then, in the middle of the seven, he will put an end to sacrifice and offering, and on a wing of the temple he will set up an abomination that causes desolation until the end that is decreed is poured out on him. Now Jesus Christ taught this also. Turn over to Matthew 24. Matthew 24. Matthew 24, starting at verse 15, the Lord Jesus Christ is giving a Bible class. Verse 15, so when you see standing in the holy place the abomination that causes desolation spoken of through the prophet Daniel, let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let no one on the roof of his house go down to take anything out of the house. Let no one in the field go back to get his cloak. How dreadful it will be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. Pray that your flight will not take place in winter or on the Sabbath, for then there will be great tribulation, unequaled from the beginning of the world until now, and never to be equaled again. That's the last 3.5 years, the Great Tribulation. So the last 42 months, 3.5 years, 1260 days, is the Great Tribulation, and the abomination of desolation will take place in the temple. Three, the temple will become a shrine for the world ruler, the Antichrist of the Great Tribulation. The temple will become a shrine for the world ruler, the Antichrist of the Great Tribulation, and he will put an idol in it and proclaim himself to be God. Turn over to 2 Thessalonians 2. 2 Thessalonians 2. Second Thessalonians 2, verse 3. Don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come until, and then the word here, you see, may have it translated rebellion. Actually, the word means departure. It can mean apostasy, it can mean departure, it can refer to the rapture. Until the rapture occurs. And the man of lawlessness, the Antichrist, is revealed. The man doomed to destruction. He will oppose and will exalt himself over everything that is called God or is worshipped, so that he sets himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. And then turn over to Revelation 13. Revelation 13. Revelation 13, starting at verse 11. Then I saw another beast. This is a different beast than the Antichrist. This is the false prophet. Then I saw another beast, the false prophet, coming out of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb, but he spoke like a dragon. He exercised all the authority of the first beast, the Antichrist, on his behalf, and made the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast, the Antichrist, whose fatal wound had been healed. And he performed great and miraculous signs, even causing fire to come down from heaven to earth in full view of men. Because of the signs, he was given power to do on behalf of the first beast, the Antichrist. He deceived the inhabitants of the earth. He ordered them to set up an image, an idol, in honor of the beast, the Antichrist, who was wounded by the sword and yet lived. He was given power to give breath to the image of the first beast, the Antichrist, so that it could speak and cause all who refused to worship the image to be killed. He also forced everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on his right hand or on his forehead, so that no one could buy or sell unless he had the mark, which is the name of the beast, the Antichrist, or the number of his name. This calls for wisdom. If anyone has insight, let him calculate the number of the beast, the Antichrist, for it is man's number. His number is 666. Now, I hate the number 6. I was on a hunt, and they put me in a room. I said, "What number is it?" He said, 6. I said, "Hell no, I'll sleep outside." "You got a 5? "Yeah, well, put me in 5. I'm not going to get in 6. And then I'm at my cardiologist, best cardiologist in Las Vegas. Will is the one that said, "This is the guy you got to go see." And he's doing my blood work. And he says, "Oh, Pastor Olson, your ratio is horrible." I said, "What's my ratio?" He says, 666. I said, "That is horrible. That's going to change. We're going to get off that number. I don't care if we go up or down, but we're going to get off 66. He laughed. He always brought that up every time I went in there. I said, I always ask, "What's my ratio?" "Oh, 3. Now I'm down to 3s with my ratio." "That's great." Not 666 anymore. Point 4. Revelation 11 verse 2 also makes it clear that the times of the Gentiles, Luke 21:24, will not end until the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. Though Jews may possess Jerusalem temporarily, as they have in this century, they will lose possession in the last 42 months of the Great Tribulation. Revelation 11:2 says the Gentiles will trample on the holy city, Jerusalem, for 42 months. So in that last 3.5 years, they will lose control. Revelation 11:3-6. Revelation 11:3-6, the ministry of the two witnesses. And I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy for 1,260 days. That's the last 3.5 years of the tribulation, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two lampstands that stand before the Lord of the earth. If anyone tries to harm them, fire comes from their mouths and devours their enemies. Every time I study this, oh God, if you could just give me that for a few times. Just a... Fire comes from their mouths and devours their enemies. This is how anyone who wants to harm them must die. These men have power to shut up the sky so that it will not rain during the time that they are prophesying. And they have power to turn the waters into blood, and the power to strike the earth with every kind of plague as often as they want. All right. 1,260 days of 3.5 years. In the last 3.5 years of Daniel's 70th week, the Great Tribulation, God will have two witnesses who will serve as his communicators and communicate the absolute truth. Crisis evangelism in that Great Tribulation period. And they will operate the entire 3.5 years. And Satan and the Antichrist and can't do anything about it. They can't touch these guys. 2. The judgments inflicted by the two witnesses are reminiscent of the judgments from Elijah and Moses. So the judgments inflicted by the two witnesses, Revelation 11, verses 5 and 6, reminiscent of the judgments of Elijah and Moses. So I want you to see a couple before we close tonight, because this is great. 1 Kings 17, verse 1. 1 Kings 17, verse 1. 1 Kings 17, 1, we have Elijah. Now Elijah the Tishbite from Tishbe in Gilead said to Ahab, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years except at my word." And it stopped. The rain stopped. Well, that'll be the witnesses in the Great Tribulation. Do the same thing. Elijah had power to stop the rain. Now, turn over to 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 1. Second Kings chapter 1, we'll start at verse 10. Second Kings 1, verse 10. We have Elijah again. Elijah answered the captain, "If I am a man of God, may fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50 men." Then fire fell from heaven and consumed the captain and his men. Verse 11. At this, the king sent to Elijah another captain, captain number 2. See how he does. With his 50 men. The captain said to him, "Man of God, this is what the king says. Come down at once." "If I am a man of God," Elijah replied, "may fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50 men." And then the fire of God fell from heaven and consumed him and his 50 men. So the king sent a third captain. And that captain says, I resign. I'm not in this anymore. So the king sent a third captain with his 50 men. And the third captain went up and fell on his knees before Elijah. Man of God, he begged, please have respect for my life and the lives of these 50 men, your servants. See, fire has fallen from heaven and consumed the first two captains and all their men. But now have respect for my life. The angel of the Lord said to Elijah, go down with him. Don't be afraid of him. So Elijah got up and went down with him to the king. He told the king, this is what the Lord says. Is it because there is no God in Israel for you to consult that you have sent messengers to consult Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron? Because you have done this, you will never leave the bed you are lying on. You will certainly die. So he died, according to the word of the Lord that Elijah had spoken. Well, I wanted to get that in. That I have a hard time not laughing like you did when the third captain was called by the king. Now you go. These are two witnesses. They do the same thing Elijah and Moses did. Exodus 7:20, Moses had the power to turn the water into blood. Exodus chapters 8 to 12, Moses had the power to bring on the plagues. The same thing that these two witnesses in the great tribulation, crisis evangelism, and no one can stop them. They hate them. They hate them. No one can stop them. And if they try to stop them, fire comes out of their mouth and they're toast. Literally. Well, we'll look at the rest of this next week. The day of the Lord. All throughout the Old Testament scriptures. Book after book after book, God reveals truth about the day of the Lord. The tribulation. The second advent, the millennial reign of Christ. And then, in the New Testament, Revelation chapter 6 to 19. Revelation chapter 6 to 19 is the tribulation period. And so we have the day of the Lord all the way through Revelation chapter 6 through chapter 19. And we will be looking at these and since we're in the book that the theme is the day of the Lord, we're going to look at this in detail. All right? Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.